my random poems and a few poems from my encyclopedia that I wrote a lot of. This poem is a sort of a love poem from the perspective of Darth Vader, the guy from Star Wars. It's called Ewoks. My twin ion engines are screaming their melancholy love across the galaxy. And where my gentle eyes should be is a dark, dank helmet. Oh, this is the dark side of love. This is the Imperial Senate's cold idea of love. Love like this could only thrive on Hoth. As I wander through the Death Star of my loneliness, the droids of my unhappiness chitter at me and clatter their robot limbs in a sad parody of romantic dancing. Sometimes I catch myself drifting away and forgetting to listen to the Emperor and forgetting my cape on the elevator, dropping my lightsaber on the floor, cruising through the day like a probe droid automatic. Sometimes I catch myself wanting a rebel attack to come so that this Darth Vader love can be finished with. Like the end of a trilogy, at the end of that third movie, with all those happy Ewoks and robots and happy rebels and joyful Jedis rejoicing and Han Solo smiling like a diamond because he has friends and a great spaceship and a princess for a girlfriend. But that must wait. Tonight, I stare into the stars and plan for war. This is a more philosophical poem called Genius Town. Being smart, being stupid, what's the difference? If you can answer this, you are smarter than me. Gravy, chocolate, a spice rack, who on earth cares what makes stuff different? Nobody cares, says the spice rack. Except a part of you that hates to lose control. Control? What is control? Ask the gravy, or something equally great beside it. This poem is called Yes, but why these particular ducks? The kind of ducks that I made up. That's all you need to know about. Yes, but why these particular ducks? According to the Dead Sea Scrolls, our creator longed to invent the laser. The best he could do was lightning. Even saltwater wood ducks saw the flaws. Too short-lived, way too jagged. It would take people to make lasers. But when our final beams ebb to partial silence, then chilling stillness, we become less than his children. Clinging to the edge of what is possible, only the feasible can be achieved. Nothing incredible believed. Such matters matter little to saltwater wood ducks, whose nature is to imagine inventing without giving in to the temptation. I've been trying to find a title for this poem for a long time. And I can't find one, so I think I'm just going to call it Dicks. Dicks think solitary campers look lonely when they themselves are lonely. Killers can be cruel too, but a katana slices through the ship dicks do to expose a hidden border. Tight shorts, loose brown socks, standing up in the tippiest canoe. Dicks are like daredevils. Resemble love triangles, who are like ninjas or mimes, scaling the invisible wall between coming home too strong and leaving you wanting more. Leaving you wanting more. Dicks are like the most affordable private investigator you can summon from the internet, or like a potentially sinister European life partner you see ads for on his website. Tight shorts, loose brown socks, standing up in the kickiest game. Sweet green eagles, fire everywhere. Girlfriend, don't go there. not as intellectual as that last one. Called a hot dog cart. The ode to a hot dog cart. Yes. Angel in a barbecue's body. You can't be drowned, Lord is son. Off-white takeout styro pack, flattened by a dump truck backing up, beep, 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 blow my mind. Be mental into my asthma flattened styro pack. Unravel what it means to be book smart, hot dog cart. I will be there for you when you are ready to transform. Trying to find the one poem that will really tie them all together. Which Canadian celebrity do you resemble from afar? One of thyself, Socrates told himself. I bet he can't believe it now. Centuries of self-inquiry speak no official language. Socrates is Greek to me. A summer of trying to hide mixed with introspection has left me with the durability and the wisdom of cardboard. Inward is an English word, meaning nowhere. Socrates is dead to me. We're from Wisconsin, Atlantis. Saskatchewan, actually. But the way things look, standing for what they stand for, even when they stand for nothing. Like a birthday cake before it's iced. Which homegrown celebrity do I look like most? A mix of Wilfrid Laurier and Feist. I don't think it's accurate. Maybe it was before. One of my first favorite poets was definitely T.S. Eliot. So I wrote this poem that wasn't originally about him, and then I transformed it into being a poem sort of about T.S. Eliot a little bit. It's called Mammoth. At the point where tradition breaks down through the clouds and intersects communication with a flash, T.S. Eliot is there in the flesh, exposing himself to the hollowness of language. Using words good, a linguist on the lake howls at the smoky shore until T.S. Eliot himself appears, adjacent to the mud hut, his cape of lightning flapping. Using vocal sadness good in the hut's northeast corner, two singers caress the syntax, their lyrics paint a proof rock. Like Satan and his cathedral, T.S. Eliot is other people. Nobody's him. Pandemonium of subterranean caverns flat in the flame of the winds of Eliot, who spreads verbal misdemeanors like mozzarella, who fills awkward silences like sins fill up days on the calendar. Rhetorical devices sprint down the starless slope, flutter on their backs, fly up, thud against our Orion's belt, explode. I myself am language. Nobody's me. Towards the sky. It's what the thunder's friend, a cave, once said, according to the sea. According to the earth, the substance under everything we trust is just a fossil tusk, becoming dust, as all things must. I read this poem on the radio, or it might be losing its context a bit. Called Mary Shelley's Spring Election Campaign, and I read it right before the election in Quebec. It was actually on the day of the election. And they asked me to come in and read a poem, and I said, well, I kind of have to allude at least to the end of something like that. Quebec. Mary Shelley's Spring Election Campaign. There's a candor in the columns of April showers. The rain is a better editor than the wind. The wind. Better reader than the rain. You and rubber boots, the powers of invisibility and anti-gravity do not belong to you, but to Superman and his friends, who love you, who want to see you, and to the Roman gods of salvage, who gather what is lost, who limits contact with the past, to trips down memory lane, who harbors all that is tiny or vast, and keeps it on the highest perfect shelf, totally unknowable. You have to learn to accept yourself, for the objects it collects cradle your existence like a baby. Solid gold has a certain weight that 5 minutes holding a sleeping infant frequently has. You enter the door. No one is there except Frankenstein. He's probably coming from some far-off place. He points toward a sugar shack, where if you pass through the door, all your friends are there. Man, that shack is everywhere, he says. It's a big sugar shack, he adds unnecessarily. You smell bacon frying, but it's hard to see what values Frankenstein is personifying. He draws a circle in the milk and snow with his cane. He can't believe how little he's changed. I'm going to read this couple of poems from Complete Encyclopedia of Different Types of People, where each poem is just an entry in the encyclopedia. What? They are somewhere, but I don't have any.
Oh, never mind.
So, at a bookstore, I guess. I ordered some, but they didn't arrive, though. So just trust me. Trust me, it exists. I took this poem, sort of a found poem, from the Audubon Field Guide to Insects and Spiders, and it's sort of transformed into people, so it can fit into my program here, or have an encyclopedia. It's called Day Traders. So I just chose a few words and changed them so it's about people. But it was originally about us. May is not the only month when stockbrokers emerge in large numbers from lakes and streams. The order Ephemeroptera means living the day. Some adult stockbrokers did not survive even that long, bursting from the water in the evening and dying before dawn. Most last a few days, but none are equipped to feed as an adult. To reproduce, thousands of male stockbrokers perform a kind of dance, flying up and down in great swarms. They seize females that enter the swarm and mate in flight. Eggs are laid within an hour, attached by short filaments to aquatic plants or other supports. Metamorphosis is simple. Interns, unlike adult stockbrokers, have biting mouth parts and can feed on tiny plants and small aquatic animals. They resemble the children of bank managers but have 3 rather than the usual 2 tail filaments and gills on their abdomens rather than on the thorax. This poem is called Perverts. They have day jobs, just like you and me, if we had jobs. And hairstyles like ours, if only we could remove these helmets. And then dreams spring up on their pillows like Soviet factories. We have seen them cruise by on slender blue bicycles as we gobble yams and chives at our favorite cafe. What can we do except shrug, sip our Pepsi, and remark that the more people change, the more we stay as we are, at ease in the sunlight and alert, our crystal shirts exploding into shards. I never really knew this poem, but it's kind of interesting to me because I work at a soup kitchen, but I wrote this whole thing kind of making fun of people who work at soup kitchens before I had worked there. And then it sort of ironically became true all around me, it became my real life. So it's called Tough Cookies. It's not really very important, but it looks a bit like a recipe to define cookies, I guess. So it starts with a list of ingredients and the poem starts. Tough Cookies. 1 cup granulated sugar, 1 cup cup packed brown sugar, half cup softened butter, grated zest of one orange, 2 eggs, 2 cups all perfect flour. All perfect.
All
perfect. All perfect flour. They begin to deceive themselves, replacing objects of sexual desire like crossbows and omelets with burnt toast and acts of God. Like wildfires, they drive herds of antlered emotion into isolated ponds until every gut reaction is in neck deep, forced to dog paddle, nothing but nostrils above the ripples. Though they kept the urge to emerge, these defectors from the Freudian camp could easily picture themselves rushing to the aid of fallen strangers and labeling gentle suits in fine china bowls, offering weeks of gratis shelter, giving personal beds pro bono to an endless river of despairing convalescence, each duped into trading the family cow for a handful of dubious beans. And still, the toughest of cookies paced the quiet kitchen, stirring pointless stews, chewing and clomping up the steps and down again, until one day the landing is lower than they expect. Like frontier drifters, they brush bits of bottle from their beards, break a chair across the emptiness, grab sadness by the shirt and smash its head off the piano's edge, while low-cut ladies on the staircase laugh and move their various skits seem macho. I'm really sure about the time. It's a book called Stephen. We are Stephen. We are one. We are even, like the dead. They have a name where the dead have skulls of dusty nitrous memory softening over centuries. We are spaghetti. Anything can happen. We will be ready. We are swirling evenly across the odds like crocodiles on river glass. We are Stephen under the mirror. We are out here. We will see you in a while if you're ready, or later if you're not. The days pass over gray stony grass. Let the clover's fibers shine. May our stone carved names gather across the evenings, evening us all. Let the living remember we are one and Stephen. Let the dead be honest and still. Thanks.
To bypass chagrin, nurse coffees and finger car keys.